in the hour with Stroman on sports, talking sports with Dr. Debbie Stroman, who is multi-talented and, among other things, hosts Cover 2 on WCHL every single week. Joining us now on the phone. Debbie, good to be with you today.
Absolutely. I think we are all filled with cabin fever and want to get out and about. But certainly there is a lot going on in the world of sports and, of course, locally as well.
And one of the really cool stories that we saw in the last couple of days in the sports world, and specifically the NBA world, is the Lakers taking on the Heat, Lakers beating the Heat. But that was kind of secondary to the official end of the rivalry slash competitive friendship, I guess, between LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, who played together for the Heat for a couple of years and have maintained a really close friendship as well as an on-the-court rivalry simultaneously throughout the years. And the Lakers win means that LeBron ends up winning the series with Dwayne 16-15, but they were hugging each other after the game and wishing each other well, and that's a really good thing to see.
Absolutely. There's so many storylines to this relationship. I don't know who actually coined bromance, but clearly Dwayne Wade and LeBron James would have to be on the cover photo if you were trying to describe it to someone. But the game, no doubt, was very, very big. Two major markets, Miami and Los Angeles, and then two superstars, Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, coming together in this last game. The tension was there. There was no doubt that the Lakers had the edge, seeing how in the previous game the Lakers had won big. But the thought was, coming home with all the tension, knowing that Dwayne Wade had decided to retire earlier this year in September, all the lights. And then at the most competitive moment, they ended up guarding each other, which was really, really special. But lots of smiles on the court, and certainly after the game was over, the media just surrounded the two of them, and they talked about how they would never have that moment again competing against each other, but just how special it was to be friends with someone that you actually love like a brother and to be able to compete against him at the highest level.
What is the difficulty for people who are competitors with each other, who are rivals, who are both very much at the top of their game, so competing at the very, very highest level for national championships or MVPs or the highest possible honor, to do that and also maintain a friendship as well?
Well, I would be disingenuous if I didn't say that that is very, very difficult. What they did was really, really special. They took a liking to each other early on in their careers, and they supported one another, calling each other after games, encouraging one another when they had big, big competitions against other teams. But I know for myself, and certainly definitely not at that level of basketball play, but I did play high enough at NCAA Division I that I can say, when I was out on the court and you're playing with a friend, every once in a while you would give each other a look, you would wink at one another, you might even try to get away with a low high five or a tag on the shorts just to recognize, because we know that sports, it's just a game. And I know there's millions and millions of dollars involved at college level and definitely the pros, but bottom line, you have humans playing and they have relationships, and it's something that money cannot purchase.
And I guess insofar as you do have humans playing the game, that means that just about anything in the gamut of human possibility is going to present itself, right? You're going to have people like LeBron and Dwayne Wade, who are friends throughout their rivalry, even as they're competitive. You've got people who are going to be instant rivals, who therefore are never going to like each other and are going to continue to hate each other even after their careers are long over. I guess that's the Ali Frazier model, right? And then you've got like Magic and Bird, who were rivals and didn't really get along too well while they were playing and then became great friends afterwards.
Well, you're exactly right. And in fact, in terms of the bromance, I'll remember Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. And it was rumored, I don't know the truth to it, but it's been stated that at Magic's mansion in Los Angeles, that Isaiah Thomas actually had a room with his name on it, and he would often stay there as, you know, best buddies. But clearly, it is very, very difficult, and you see all types of relationships like that. One thing that I'll also mention, though, is very difficult for teammates to understand it. So, like in football, when you see a competitor helping another competitor up, and he might be his friend, maybe they played college ball together or they're just buddies off the field. But you'll see teammates, you know, saying, don't pick them up. That's not sportsmanship. We are here to win. We are here to really trounce our opponent. So how dare you show any type of friendship while the game is going on? So it can be challenging for teammates to understand the relationship sometimes.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, so that raises another question, which is how much does the sport matter, the nature of the sport as a team competition versus an individual level competition, and then also just the way the sport or the league sees itself. This was a game between two teams, the Lakers and the Heat, and it was billed as the last game in the rivalry because we're all basically aware that neither the Lakers nor the Heat really have much of a chance of making it to the NBA Finals this year, so we're not going to see the Lakers and the Heat competing against each other in the playoffs. So on a certain level, there's not a lot of meaning to this game versus a game between two teams that are going to potentially be competing in the finals. And yet this was a top billed game because of the individuals involved, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
Well, there's no doubt the NBA is a business and they're always looking for opportunities to make money. So anytime you have an NBA game, there are a number of people sitting at their desks in strategy meetings, talking to each other virtually, trying to figure out what's the best way to create more revenue. So the story became, you know, the two Hall of Fame titans who had won championships together. Here's their last go round, and what can we build off of that? So I'm sure a lot of shirts were sold that evening, maybe specialty items as well. But that's what you get when you have a league that likes to build its brand off of the individual players, unlike the NFL, which builds itself off of the team. So that's why you see the marketing of the Shield and the Dallas Cowboys, the marketing of, for example, the Oakland Raiders. Even though they've been down, it's still the franchise and the glory days, the black and silver. So different ways to create revenue, but clearly the NBA is built on individual players.
We're talking about the relationship between competitors or rivals and how they can maintain friendship. How does that translate to power hierarchies when you've got a boss and an employee or a professor and a student? Is it a similar question, maintaining or creating friendships there?
Definitely. And I don't know if there's one right answer. I know for sports, it might be gender-based in terms of older athletes understand the relationship of the coach in the sense that you're here to make me better. It's okay to scream at me. It's a way to poke at me, anything to make me better. Oftentimes with younger athletes, and not all younger athletes, but many of them can't handle that really, really tough love and that tough coaching, or on the other side, a friendship, as in sometimes they might cross the line and in situations actually speak back to the coach thinking that, well, that's my friend. So it can be very, very confusing and challenging in the sport world. In terms of the business world, clearly there is a line. And oftentimes we know it as, you know, the pyramid. There is one CEO, there's one boss, and then you have middle management, you know, entry level, and everybody knows that order, that pecking order. And very rarely is it crossed. You'll see managers or bosses who will definitely go down a level or two and try and support and be kind and, you know, do fun things. You know, we'll have a team bonding event. But the line of power is very, very clear and direct in business.
I got to wrap up this conversation, but just sort of final thoughts, friendships across team lines, even between rivals or competitors. Is that something that's good for the game or something that if you were the coach of a team, you would try to dissuade?
Well, I'm old school, so I believe in when you compete, you compete. There's no smiling out there. There's no, hey, that's my buddy. Let me give you a high or a low five. You go out there and you play your best and you compete. Off season, sure, you can do those things or during the holiday break. But I believe that the coach should direct. The coach should not be your friend. And I'm not saying they can't be nice, but I believe it makes more sense. It's more efficient to be direct and everybody understand their roles.
Stroman on Sports. Check out Cover 2 on WCHL weeknights during the 7 o'clock hour. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.